to this week's Thrive Church podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
Angry character. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. In a humorous way, I want to deal with the topic of anger. And I thought it was funny because when we were looking at clips to play for you, I was looking at sports clips and all sorts of angry clips, and it was really hard to find a clip that didn't have inappropriate language, people blowing up and swearing and stuff, because the reality is anger makes us do things and say things that aren't healthy, right? And so I want to deal with the message title this morning, The Danger of Anger. The Danger of Anger. And I'm just going to preface it by saying we're going to go deep this morning. This morning is going to be pretty hard-hitting. The message that God has put on my heart to really bring to you this morning is quite challenging, but I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to do some freedom, wants to bring some people into freedom from anger this morning. I don't know if you've worked out, but we're living in a society today that is full of angry people. There's some angry people out there. I just wrote down some things that people are angry about. People are angry about government policies, angry about the state of the economy, angry about immigration, angry about this. I was reading even the shocking statistics, appalling statistics on domestic violence that is plaguing our nation at the moment with men that can't control their anger. And it's having devastating effects in the lives of women and children and families. Road rage statistics. Anyone experienced some road rage this week? Get this. In New South Wales alone last year, 7 out of every 10 drivers experienced some kind of road rage. 7 out of 10. Crazy. It's scary. Angry people on the roads. Anger. Anger, even I was reading the link between anger and mental health, that so many people with mental health issues have connections with anger. Anger is destroying communities, it's destroying relationships, it's destroying families, undealt with anger. You know, some people, if you even look at them the wrong way, it sets them off. Remember that person where you might be going through, you just look at them for more than half a second, what are you looking at? It's like angry people. No nudges allowed to happen in church this morning, all right? So here's the thing. I think we can all agree that there are a lot of angry people outside the church. But here's the sobering truth. There's also a lot of angry people inside the church. A lot of angry people inside the church. And I want to deal with this topic today because of the seriousness that comes with this issue. But James chapter 1 verse 19 to 20 says this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. In other words, pay really close attention. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. The key word, slow. Verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Be slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen. Let me ask you a question just for your own internal reflection. In life, how quickly do you get angry? Just how quickly do you fire up? Are you the person that gets angry very quickly, or does it take a while to build you up? All of us get angry in life. It's a normal human emotion. But the question is, how quickly do you get angry? Do you fire up pretty easy? You know, every day is an opportunity for you and I to get angry about something. Every single day, because we live in life. You know, you get out and get in the car and drive out. That's a chance for you to get angry. There's so many opportunities and reasons we can get angry in life. Someone says something to you at work tomorrow that you're going to misunderstand. You can get angry about that. Someone you were relying on to get something done didn't happen. Someone took something from you they shouldn't have taken, make you get angry. You know, even the most smallest things can set people off. Last week, in my cafe, my coffee came to me and the barista had put a sugar. Somebody served me coffee with sugar. I mean, I trashed that place. I was so angry that I got that coffee. And I'm still processing my unforgiveness through that thing. But like, I will never ever buy a coffee from the, you can guess the cafe, ever again. But listen, some people would get angry about that. It sounds stupid, but we get angry about the most smallest things. But yet we don't realize how dangerous it is. It's incredibly dangerous. I wanted to say this before I get into the teaching. Anger is a valid human emotion. It's an emotion we all experience. It's very, very normal to get angry. It's normal. If you don't process anger or don't express anger, you'll suppress it. And then what'll happen, it'll come out in an inappropriate way down the track. Or you'll express it straight away and it'll damage people. So it's normal. Anger is normal. Even God himself is described as having anger. showing anger, the wrath of God, the righteousness of God. Key difference is God expresses a righteous anger, not a sinful anger. And I wanted to say to you this morning, if you're angry, he does give you permission to be angry. You know, one of the worst things that I think the church has perpetuated over the years has been this whole deny emotion. Yeah. Deny emotion. You're not allowed to feel. No, that's not true. You can feel. God says you can be angry, but he says you can't stay angry. There's the difference. And so you have to avoid, actually, let me say this. You can't avoid getting angry in life, but you must learn to deal with it in a healthy way. And so God models this for us. Look at this psalm. I think it's coming up, Psalm 30, verse 5. It says this about God. I think we can learn from this. It says, for God's anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. So God says, my anger comes about injustice and the anger at sin and anger at things that are evil. But notice it says that's momentary, but other aspects of his character last. And so the question for you and I this morning is not do we get angry, it's is it lasting anger? Is it anger that's not dealt with? Is it anger that's unresolved? He models that for us. And I wanted to say some things very soberly to you this morning. If you're angry about something this morning and you don't deal with it, it has very dire consequences. Catastrophic in some cases. You must deal with it, otherwise it leads to sin and destruction. So if you've got a Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to hit verse 26 and 27 and look at some things in this verse. And it'll be our main scripture for this morning. And I'm going to say some quite deep things about this. So Paul writes, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't sin, or some versions say, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. For anger gives, he says, don't sin by letting anger control you. There's the key word. There's the key thought. That it's not that do you get angry, do you let it get to the point where it controls you and consume you and dictate what you do. And the Bible's saying, and Paul is saying there, if we don't deal with anger, it can actually lead to sin. Now, I have, and we've all done things, I have said things, done things, quit things, and even broken things in anger. I have, over the course of my life. I know I've done things even as a parent, and I've parented my children poorly at times when I've parented out of anger and out of frustration. Anyone relate to that? You've smacked your child. I know some people get offended at that thought, out of anger rather than just be controlled, you know. And so we've all done that. It's normal. But here's what I realize. Things said in anger and rage can wound another person's soul for a lifetime. You ever said something in someone in anger and it's really wounded them? Or you've been on the receiving end of someone really giving it to you full barrels and it's wounded you deeply. Anger can really lead to sin if you don't deal with it. Notice Paul says, don't let sin control you. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. What's he saying there? Don't let anger stay undealt with. Deal with it quickly. He's saying anger that's left undealt with and left to just linger and not dealt with quickly becomes a foothold to the devil, right? And so we're going to get into some teaching this morning, and I'm going to say some things that you may not have heard before, but I want you to open your spirit and open your heart to what I want to say and what God wants to say to you this morning. This is the main thing I want to say to you. This is really important. Unresolved anger opens the door to the demonic. It opens the door to the demonic. Paul says, don't let sin control you, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Anger can open the door to the demonic. Now, in Thrive Church, we don't talk about the devil much. We don't talk about demons on every doorknob. We don't talk about this stuff a lot. But I really felt in my heart this week that we need to actually understand the spiritual danger of not processing anger in our hearts. You know, the angry and offended person does not realize the danger they're in spiritually. It's a real issue. And so I want to deal with this morning. Think about the very first, you know, you think about the news. This week, I read, even in the news this week, some appalling crime that occurred because someone in a fit of rage killed someone or did something horrendous to someone out of anger and rage. The very first murder in the Bible happened through who and what? It was Cain in the Bible who murdered someone out of rage. Let's just have a quick look at this quick story. So Canaan, look where it started, because you're thinking, well, this is a bit extreme, Brad. But trust me, look where it started. So Cain and Abel are there, and Cain brings an offering that God says is not acceptable, and Abel's is accepted. And it says that when God didn't accept Cain's offering, it says that Cain was very angry. Very angry. And God goes, why are you angry? What happens next? Cain doesn't deal with his anger. Not before long, all of a sudden, he takes Abel into the field and he kills his own brother. Sin got a stronghold. The devil got in. The spirit of murder comes in through the foothold of anger. It's pretty sobering, isn't it? He just didn't decide to kill the guy. It started with anger. It started with unresolved anger and letting the devil get a foothold. And you might be thinking this morning, come on, Brad, no one in here is thinking of killing anyone. No one is thinking of doing anything like that. No, that may be true. But listen, anger will kill your contentment. Yeah. It'll kill your joy. Yeah. It'll kill your peace. It'll kill the inner peace and satisfaction you have with life. It'll kill off some stuff in your world. I've seen unresolved anger kill off relationships. I've seen it kill off marriages. I've seen it kill off people's calling. And I've even seen it cut off people's destiny. Unresolved anger is such a big deal. In fact, any undealt with or out of control toxic emotion that we don't deal with opens the door to the demonic. Let me explain something to you. You are made up of three parts. You are body, soul, and spirit. You are those three things. Now, Jesus Christ on the cross died and you were forgiven and you were set free spiritually. You've been forgiven. But what happens is this process of sanctification occurs where he has to form you into the image of his son. And what happens is you've been spiritually set free. He's done it. You've got the victory. Christ has given you the victory. But our soul and our thinking and our mind and our emotions has a process of sanctification to catch up with the reality of your position in Christ. And so the enemy attacks in the realm of the soul, because it's in your soul is where the old man lives, the old thinking, sinful thoughts and selfishness and all that kind. He attacks that realm. That's where he goes. And so the reason that the emotions and feelings open the door to the enemy, because false feelings are based on lies. Toxic feelings are based on lies, and lies always empower the enemy. And so the examples like this, when you feel, I feel unloved, I feel unworthy, I feel abandoned. I feel rejected. I feel betrayed. I felt all of those things at some point in my life. Now, the bottom line is, whether you feel that or not, it's actually not true. None of those words are true, because God said, never will he leave you nor forsake you. That's right. Whatever people do to you is one thing, but God has promised to never leave you. And so when we don't deal with these toxic emotions, it opens the door to the enemy. A number of years ago, I had this dream in my life, and I think I've shared it a few times, and I had a dream about a black rat that was trying to get into our door, and it had these creepy red eyes, this big black rat trying to get through the door with red eyes, trying to get access to my life, and it kind of freaked me out, because the reality is I don't even like rats. I hate rats. Some people even have rats as pets. Like, if you have a rat as a pet, you need prayer. Like, who in God's name would own a rat as a pet? I hate rats completely. But anyway, in this dream, it was a picture of this demonic trying to get into my life, and it was just an attack from the enemy. And I don't like rats in general. Now, I've traveled around the world to quite a few places, and this is what I've noticed. Wherever I've traveled, let me start this by saying, there are some cities I've traveled to around the world that have more rats than normal. One of the worst places in the world that I've seen more rats than any other place was India. Anyone been to India? Like, I saw more rats in India, like rats the size of cats, and just scurrying over you. They're not even scared of you. They're just everywhere through the city. It's just go to India, book a flight next week, go to India. But the highest, watch this. This is really important. The highest concentration of rats are found in places where there is most garbage. That's where you find rats. You know, in India, when I saw what I saw there were crowded cities, millions of people living in slums, open sewers, and piles of garbage. Piles of it. And therefore, rats thrive in dark, damp, garbage-filled environments. I want to say this to you, and I want to say this to you in love. If you don't deal with emotional garbage, you attract the demonic. That's the reality. And so many times we want to deal with the rat, but we need to get rid of the garbage that the rat feeds on. The answer is not casting devils out all the time. The answer is dealing with emotional garbage in our lives that the rats are feeding on. And the more we deal with the rubbish and the garbage in our lives, the less foothold we give the demonic to feed on and consume on. I know this is heavy, but are you getting something from this? I have to give you the importance of this. Now, so the devil is looking for a foothold in our thinking, in our emotions, in the realm of our soul. He cannot take what Christ has done. He cannot take your spiritual victory away. He can only make you think you've lost it through your realm because Jesus has done it, right? And so a foothold, right? So he looks for a foothold through unprocessed anger, unprocessed resentment, unprocessed bitterness, unprocessed rage, whatever it is. Now a foothold is this. Let me just give you the definition. It's a place where a person's foot can be lodged to support them securely. Anyone do rock climbing? Indoor, outdoor rock climbing. So a foothold is like when you're climbing, it's a place to lodge your foot and get stability to progress further. Now, any of you who have done rock climbing know that a foothold doesn't have to be very big. It's only got to be a small enough place to wedge your big toe and the ball of your feet and just get in a little bit. So the enemy doesn't need a big space. He just needs a little inroad. He just needs a small... So in other words, if you don't deal with anger, he'll just get in. That's like a foothold giving the devil a foothold. And guess what? Footholds lead to strongholds. Footholds lead to strongholds. Do not be naive with the enemy, church. I was reading about this because I was reading some history. I remember a history lesson of when the Allies during the war took over Normandy on the beach, and they all came on the beach, and they... I'm not going to give you the details because I've got to move on. I can't remember all the details anyway. But they landed on the beach and it says that they established a foothold. The beach, this small area of land, and from that foothold on the beach, they were able to advance in and capture all of the opposing armies. But it started with a foothold and then they got a stronghold. Now they were trying to liberate their land. Satan's not trying to liberate you. He's trying to take you captive. And so you can't give him a foothold. It kind of works like this. Someone upsets you, something happens to you, and the devil goes, let's just watch to see what they do with this. Let's see what happens. And he gets a foothold in their thinking, in their emotions, in their feelings. And once he gets a foothold and you don't deal with it, he goes for other areas of your life. Because the angry, resentful, offended person has no joy or success in any area. It won't be long before every area of their life becomes a stronghold to the enemy. Is this helping you? Do you want to go a bit deeper? Let's go deeper. So Paul says, don't give the enemy a foothold. He actually says the word devil. Now, when you study this, Paul uses, and the writers of the Bible use different words for the devil. There's some definitions that are interchangeable that they use. Now, let's look at the word devil that Paul uses for a moment, because he uses the Greek word diabolos. Diabolos is the word. He says, don't give diabolos a foothold. Now, diabolos comes from two Greek words. This is so interesting. Just pay really close attention. The first part of the word is the prefix dia, and it means through. It carries the idea of some sort of penetration. It's dia, it's to go through something, right? The second Greek word is ballo, diabolo, and it means to cast something, to inject something, to thrust something, to light. It's this picture of someone even getting a knife and thrusting, right? Are you getting the picture? So what the enemy is looking for with a foothold is an entry point, an inroad in. He's looking for an inroad in. He's trying to, he'll put a foothold in your thinking, but what he wants is an inroad into your heart. He puts an inroad into your thinking in some relationship area, but really what he wants is your marriage. He wants all of it. He's looking for an entry point into your life. He looks for an inroad, but it starts with a foothold. He's a very, very cunning and calculated adversary. So let's just look at some possible entry points that the enemy uses to get in and penetrate into our lives. And there's more, but I've just written a few things down that you need to deal with. The first one is unresolved past from our childhood. All of us have had stuff growing up, things that were unfair, that were horrendous, perhaps abuse, terrible things that happened in our lives. And if you don't deal with that, the enemy gets an inroad in. Have you ever been talking to someone, you're just having a good night, you're having dinner, you're having a coffee with them, but you get on one certain topic and you all of a sudden see a reaction. Like, where on earth did that come from? We were all good because you hit a wound. You hit a wound that someone hadn't processed from their earlier years, and what they're reacting out of is a wound. That's the first entry point. Here's the second one, relational conflict. Conflict points become entry points. Relational conflict. Someone offended you, someone let you down, whatever it is. Relational conflict is an entry point for the devil. That's why you've got to forgive quickly. Number three, unresolved feelings of rejection. Always feeling rejected. They never want me. I'm not ever invited. Rejection. That's an entry point. Here's one. This has been a big one for me. Unresolved disappointments from unmet expectations in life. You know, a relationship didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out, or I didn't get the promotion at work, or life didn't happen for me the way I want, and now I'm discouraged. That's an entry point. Unresolved offense. Oh, this is a big one. I nearly preached a whole sermon on offense this morning because here's what's ironic about offense. Some Christians are the most offended people in the world, which is kind of ironic considering God forgave us of all of our offenses. Christians should be the least offendable people on the earth. We should be the least offendable people on the earth, but unfortunately, we don't. Offense is a foothold. Here's a big one, particularly I think for a lot of men, unresolved guilt and shame. Unresolved guilt and shame. In other words, you blew it as a young person, you did something you're not proud of, which I have done, which we have all done, and you've not forgiven yourself. You're still carrying the idea of that disappointment from when you were younger or something that you did or you blew it and you think God's upset and angry with you. These are all entry points, church, that the devil looks for to get into your life, and he wants to bring inroads in. I know this is not the come on, hey, God's going to bless you message, but this is some solid teaching, I think, that's going to really help you get set free if you lean into what I'm trying to say and what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you this morning. And I would say for all of those entry points, 90% of the time, forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness is the key. I would nearly say that every single one of those things, forgiveness is the key. Whether it's forgiving another person, whether it's forgiving God, whether it's forgiving yourself. If you don't forgive, listen, the spiritual consequences of that are drastic. Listen to what Paul says about forgiveness. This is really interesting. So in 2 Corinthians, he says something else in chapter 2, verse 9. He says, another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Let's just press pause there. So he says that forgiveness is actually a sign of obedience. Forgiveness is not a choice. It's a command. You've got to do it. It's a test of obedience. But watch what he says happens with Satan. I've forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Woo. What is he saying? That the enemy's strategy and scheme is through unforgiveness. That's a strategy. It's like with all these entry points, he goes around looking for an inroad into the person who refuses to forgive. And he goes, bang, I'll get that person. He knows the power of forgiveness. This is not a message on forgiveness. It's just a matter of this is a way we guard the entry point, church. Because James says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. And so he looks for that. And so he first establishes a foothold in someone's life through their thinking, through their emotions. It's like he just plants a thought. Just plants a little thought. And just watches what you do with that. And that's why you've got to take thoughts captive. When a thought comes in of resentment or revenge or bitterness about someone or something, you've got to take it captive straight away and go, God, I take that captive and I bring it to the obedience of Christ. And so he tries to establish a foothold so he can penetrate in. Now, let me show you another verse where this happened. Judas Iscariot, right? What happened with Judas Iscariot? Judas Iscariot got offended when? When the alabaster box of perfume was broken and a woman was pouring out worship to God, and the Bible says that he was offended. He was angry, right? And he didn't deal with it. Now watch what happens at the Last Supper. John 13, verse 2. It says, now when it was time for supper, the devil had already, watch this, put it into the heart of Judas Simon Iscariot to betray him. See the penetration? See the inroad? See the entry point in? Where did it start? Judas didn't deal with anger back there. Now, I know that's an extreme example, but listen, entry points and footholds become strongholds if we don't deal with them. It is incredibly spiritually dangerous. And so, yeah, before I get on to how we can get set free from it, I just want to tell you something that happened for us and just be a bit vulnerable with you. So a number of years ago, Amy and I had a business situation that occurred in our lives where there was, well, I would say betrayal, but there was, the wrong thing was done by us and we lost a lot of money. People that we trusted did the wrong thing. And it was incredibly difficult and it caused a lot of heartache in our lives, relational heartache, a lot of financial hardship. And we had to process through that. And about 18 months ago, I met up with one of the people involved in this situation, and I thought I had forgiven them. I thought I had released it. I thought I had let go. And as I was talking with that person, this anger was coming out of me that I didn't even know was there. It just was coming out in sarcasm, in cynicism, because that's often a sign you're angry. Sarcasm and cynicism. And it was coming out. And I realized when I got home, I thought, I haven't fully released this. I haven't fully dealt with this. No matter what they did at the end of the day, my God's bigger than whatever was done to me. And whatever's happened to me, God can turn around for his good and his glory anyway. And so that was the first thing. And then when we're in England in November, I want the band to come and join me. When we're over in the UK, the second person that was involved in this, I said to Amy, I'm going to go and have a coffee with this person that was involved in this business. And I met them, and to their credit, he met up with me. And we talked it through, and he was able to explain some things I didn't know. And it wasn't as bad as what I thought. It was still wrong, but it wasn't as evil as what I thought it was. And as I sat there, I looked him in the eye and said, from this moment on, I forgive you. I release this. It ends here. And you know, from that moment when I did that, there was just peace returned. And I've seen God turn around that situation in my life supernaturally. God, we're set free from that situation now, financially and emotionally. God turned it around. And so that's the power of dealing with it. But if I hadn't have dealt with it, I think the consequences could have been really, really bad. And so to get set free this morning is two things I want to say to you. Well, actually, it's a question. You can either rehearse it or release it. You can rehearse it or release it. You know, Paul says, it's interesting, he says when he uses the word anger, he uses the Greek word poragismos. Poragismos is the word for anger that he uses. And let me just give you the definition of it. See, poragismos presents this image of a person who brings anger to his side and embraces it. It's like anger becomes my best friend, my buddy, my confidant. I go to bed with it. I drive with it. I live with it. Instead of rejecting anger and pushing it away, Paul is saying this is the kind of anger where it's drawn to themselves and you hold it close. And you hold onto a grudge and you hold it and you live with it and you pet it and it becomes like a pet. And Paul is saying that kind of anger gives the devil a foothold. It brings the enemy into your life. Because perpetuating anger perpetuates sin. It's an ever-evolving cycle that occurs. And we have a choice. We can either release it or rehearse it. What do I mean by that? Meaning we can either rehearse it over and over in our mind, like a bad movie, over and over and over, what they said and what they did and how they spoke to me and what they didn't do, and over and over and over and over and over, like a bad movie, or we can let it go. Let it go. Now, I know that's hard, and I know that's not always possible for some things. Some things are a process, but I would argue that many things we could just release. Just release it. Let me ask you a question. When someone or something makes you upset or angry, do you rehearse it or do you release it? Do you rehearse it or do you release it? This is what I've understood about life, and this is what I'm saying about myself, and I pray these words go into you. My life is too short and my calling is too big to waste time being angry. My life's too short. My calling is too big to let the enemy take me out through offense and anger. I refuse to. I've got too much to do on the earth. I've got too much of an assignment to make a difference for the kingdom of heaven to waste time being angry at people. And so I guess that's a question for you this morning. Do you realize life's too short? Your calling's too big. And I heard the Holy Spirit on Friday say this to me. as I was praying for you, as I was praying for Thrive Church, I found myself weeping because I know there are people in our church that are angry for many reasons in here this morning. You're hurting and you're really wounded and you're angry. And I hear the Holy Spirit say this, tell my people it's time to let go. Tell them it's time to let it go. It's time to let it go, church. I don't know who that's for, but someone in here needs to know in their heart, it's time to let it go. It's time to drop it. Time to release it. It's time to let him go. Instead of holding on to the hurt, surrender. Forgive. Release your anger and resentment. Here's a big one. Stop justifying your anger. Stop justifying your rage and resentment. There is no justification to hold on to anger in God's eyes. Because he says, I've forgiven you of all your sin and all your anger and all your resentment. And this is the thing I've come to learn. Whenever I can't process through unforgiveness and resentment and anger, I have to think of all the times that I caused somebody else hurt, and the times I offended somebody else, and the times I wounded somebody else. How prideful of me to stay angry at somebody else for what they did to me when I have wounded people myself. Just shut your eyes for a second, because I want to lead you through a process this morning. I know this is deep stuff. But this morning, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, release in the light what the enemy wants you to rehearse in the darkness. Release in the light what the enemy wants you to rehearse in the darkness. In other words, release to Jesus your pain, your frustration, your anger, instead of rehearsing it in the darkness, you know, at nighttime, because Paul says, don't let the sun go down. It's nighttime. It's lying in bed at night when it's dark and when it's quiet is when we churn through it and when it consumes us. And God says, release it. Jesus died to set you free. He died to bring you complete freedom, mind, body, soul, spirit. It's a full package deal. And this is what I want to do this morning. I want to lead you into freedom this morning. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to get anyone. I'm not going to expose anyone. But if you feel anger in your heart towards someone, something, towards yourself, I want you to begin to open your heart and open your spirit as we lead through this. You have to get honest this morning. You have to be honest. You cannot change what you do not confront. Maybe today is the first time where you actually get honest and say, you know, I am angry. I'm angry. Tell God, I'm angry. I am angry. And now begin to release it. Release it in his presence. Push it away. Cast it off. Forgive whoever you need to forgive. Some of you are so bound up by this. I feel it in my spirit. Some of you are so bound up and it's kept you stuck. It's kept you stuck. Someone in here that is angry about something from 20 years ago, release that. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority. I take authority over the spirit of anger in this place, over every spirit of offense, over every spirit of resentment, and I ask every spirit to listen to my voice and my voice only. I take authority over every demonic spirit, over every spirit of anger, over every toxic emotion where there's a strong, I take authority over that right now, and I bind that. I bind that spirit. I bind any dark spirit that's controlling anyone here this morning. I bind that. Now as a church, I want you to stand up with me, church. This is what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hands to God. All of us. And we're going to release. We're going to release. And I want the band just to lead us through a song. And I want you to release in worship. Jesus.